Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Fast track.
I really don't want anyone listening to this podcast.
I'm done. Let's talk about I think that you need to do a better job at prioritizing what you're passionate about, because you're an emotional arguer.
And I disagree with that.
We were arguing about you waking me up, and you had the audacity to get out of the shower and wake me up so that we could have an argument about you waking me up.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things
with Sean and Andrew,
a podcast that's all about everything couples.
We're so excited that you guys took the time out of your day to listen to us. Today is going to be a fun topic.
Yeah, it was highly, highly requested. I reached out and asked you guys for topic ideas, and this was 99% of what you wanted, and it's arguments. Everything about arguments. How to argue? How do you get past arguments? Are you supposed to argue? Is it bad to argue? Can you argue too much? It was literally every question about arguments.
So thank you guys for your submissions on the topics. We're definitely going to try to cover as many different of your submissions as possible. But we wanted to start with arguments because it's something you and I are pretty experienced
at. We're really good at it.
No, I don't think we're good at it.
We're really good at making sure we argue.
Yes.
Yes. We're still figuring out the how to be good at arguments.
Yeah. So, hey, before we really jump into it, if you guys could subscribe and rate the show on whatever platform you're listening on, that would be great. It really helps us out. And we like having you around. So, anyway, I wanted to first kind of lay the correct way to perceive arguments, if you will. Okay. And I think it's important to view them correctly, because some people are like, oh, me and my boyfriend just got in an argument, and so I don't think he's the right one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know your opinion. I feel like I know your opinion, but I would say arguments are a really good thing.
Yeah.
Because if you aren't arguing, and I'm not talking about like hitting each other. That's a whole different thing. That's a different issue.
There is a difference between arguing and fighting.
Yes.
Important distinction.
But arguing, I think, is a good thing, because that means you're voicing your differences and your different opinions. And that means you're not like stuffing them down and holding them in and letting them build.
Yeah.
Like you're getting them out there.
So here's how we view relationships. It is my goal to make Sean the woman that I see in her, that I see that she could become. And so the only way to do that is, one, for her to be honest with me about who she is. And then two, for us to have honest conversations about how, hey, Sean, I didn't like how you did this. I think you could do better. So there's a lot of responsibility in that. And
about keeping me accountable to who I should be. Is that what you're trying to
say? No. About me calling you out on the right things and not being selfish about, Sean, you never do the dishes. You need to do the dishes more.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You should elaborate.
There's really important things that are worth arguing about.
Absolutely.
And then there are other things that I want to argue with you about, but I shouldn't always.
Okay.
Was that enough of an elaboration?
I think so.
Okay. So the other day.
Yes.
I really wanted your help in feeding Drew.
Okay.
Right? Because I had taken care of Drew most of the day, and I felt like I was doing what?
Nothing. Keep going.
What, you laughing at that?
No, I'm not. I'm not.
I felt like you weren't doing anything to help Drew out. And we got an argument because I was selfish, and it wasn't something that made you a better woman.
Yes. No, I agree with that. I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at like the situation and how... It is interesting, because with arguments, you can see trends with arguments, I think, if you like take a step back in relationships. And if you take a step back and really identify what it is that causes arguments, you can probably find patterns. So for us, Drew is a huge like argument starter, just because we're still figuring out parenthood. And this is why I was laughing.
I mean, we're 2 months in, so yeah. We'll always continually figure out parenthood, yes. I feel like. But
I was laughing because we have gotten in so many arguments about her just because it's such a foreign topic and it's such a new, I don't know, part of our life. And the only thing I can relate it to is our dog. And when we got Nash,
wow,
every day it was a new argument. It was conflicting opinions of how we should, you know, raise him and teach him, and now teaching a child. And
yeah,
but I will say, going back to the patterns, our patterns that we've identified, we always argue when we get tired, and it's always this emotional, irrational, we have no idea what we're arguing about, but we're just screaming at each other. We always argue about roles, just trying to figure out like whose job is what. And then we argue about appreciation. So
true. Recognition.
Not feeling appreciated or recognized. Or,
and what you just said, I think, is extremely valuable, not only in arguments and relationships, but like pretty much anything you're doing, is like finding patterns and being able to like place things in an organized way so that it's not always like this unexpected, oh, we got in an argument at 8 a.m. I don't know why we always do that. Well, Sean is not a morning person, so that's a pattern that I need to be aware of.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that to say, arguments are healthy. Fighting is not. Arguments are healthy because you have two people who have, you and I are way different, honestly.
Yes.
We're way different and we're trying to figure it out. So well, it's like, it's good.
Not to interrupt you, but one of my favorite, I don't know if you would consider it analogies, that I've heard was given to us by our premarital counselor, which I think premarital counseling is amazing. I rejected therapists. I was like, the only reason you would go to a therapist is if you're weak or you have massive issues. And I've had a lot of people suggest therapists to me over the years, which should probably be a sign. And I never went to them, but we finally went to one when we were engaged, and it changed my life. Like, I want to go to a therapist every day because it was so good. But something he said is, in any relationship, you have to look at it as if you both are speaking different languages. So it's like Andrew speaks Chinese and I speak French. And it's this constant battle of trying to learn each other's language, how you argue, if you're emotional, if you're, you know, if you go by the facts, if like we just see things just as human beings, we see things completely different and we react to things completely different. And it's this forever, ever changing process of learning each other's language, and it's hard and it's frustrating and it causes a lot of arguments. But if you go into your arguments with that mindset of, okay, what is it he's trying to say? He might be saying it in a way that sounds offensive to me, or
I'm good at that.
I might get defensive because what he's saying is something I would never say, and I just have to kind of translate it slowly and without anger, which can be really, really difficult.
There's so many things that we do wrong in our arguments. My biggest thing is my tone that I convey things to you in.
But it's an example. That's a perfect example. Like, yes, you convey things in the wrong tone to me, but that's how I perceive, and like, that's how I speak. But continue. Sorry.
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled babbel.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I feel like we have different types of arguments.
Yes.
Let's address what our different types of arguments are.
Okay. Well, the surface level, the like beginner, is disagreements.
Yes.
So that's where it starts. So Andrew,
for instance, no, here's a specific example. Sean just bought a whole bunch of new furniture that we did not need.
That started had a disagreement. Let's play this one out.
Okay.
Okay. So I presented the idea of let's refurnish our living room and dining room. I feel passionate about this topic. Andrew disagrees with that opinion. That's our disagreement.
No, I don't disagree that you want to refurnish.
No, you disagree about the whole idea.
Yes.
Okay. So we disagree and we talk through that disagreement.
Here's my...
Will you please stop messing with this microphone? It's giving me anxiety.
Here's my biggest thing with that issue is...
If we have an audio issue, by the way, this is on you.
I think that you need to do a better job at prioritizing what you're passionate about because you're an emotional arguer.
And I disagree with that.
This is fun.
Yes.
This is fun.
But let's get back on topic.
Okay.
Because we don't need to rehash. So disagreements. So yes, furniture. We disagreed at a surface level with the idea. We had disagreements with that.
Yeah.
And we talked through the disagreements of like, why do you think that? And why, you know, present your argument type thing. And then I feel like our disagreements then take a step further into arguments.
Okay.
And an argument becomes emotional. I feel like a disagreement is just, here's an idea, here's something I think, I don't agree with it.
Honestly, we don't do a good job at having just disagreements. We have a lot of disagreements that turn into arguments because
we emotional. Let emotion.
But we do a good job at never letting it get into like a fight. We've only had like two or three really big like blow ups. One of them being
I want you guys to picture this. Okay. We have, like he said, we have very rarely gotten into fights.
Fortunately. Thank you for that.
Yes. And I will say fights.
Thank you for that too, Andrew.
There is another level. What?
I'm just giving you credit for it. Thank you for that too, Andrew.
Thank you for that too, babe. I'm sorry. I was on a roll.
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I will say we have to like take a step outside of this and say if fights ever become physical in any way, that is not good. That is not healthy. You need to find help. And that's not something we approve of at all.
Yeah.
Okay. But.
And also manipulation is a bad thing.
Absolutely.
So if some, yeah. So just be wary of that. There's a big difference between trying to work through issues in a healthy way where both people are willing to compromise and trying to get someone to do
what you want.
Yes.
In an unhealthy way. Yes.
So continue.
But fights, the very few fights Andrew and I have gotten in. We had a fight not too long ago, and I need you guys to picture this. So it had to do with Drew. Who's going to feed her? Who's going to get up in the middle of the night? We're sleep deprived. We're hangry. We haven't eaten.
Oh my gosh. We go
to bed. We're in bed. My blood is boiling for some reason. I don't even know at that time. And I'm like, I need to shower. And Andrew's like, fine, I need to go to bed. So Andrew falls asleep. I get in the shower. I take a 45-minute shower.
No joke.
I'm crying in the shower. Who knows why? I really don't even remember what it is we're arguing about.
No, we were arguing about you waking me up was the argument. But go ahead.
I'm starting to remember things. We probably shouldn't bring
them up. Okay.
Okay. Anyways, while I'm in this shower for 45 minutes crying, am piecing together my argument. I'm like, oh, that's a good line. This is a good line. I'm going to hit him with this. Not physically, but, you know. And I get out of that shower confident AF. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk into this bedroom and I'm going to be like, okay, babe, let's do this.
Red flag number one of this not being a healthy argument. Okay.
So I walk in and I'm like, babe, we need to talk this through. And all I see, it's like pitch black in our bedroom, except, you know, when you like your eyes adjust and you can see shadows, all I see are Andrew's arms being thrown up into the air as he's laying down in bed.
I've he's just never like done this in my
shaking
life.
Shaking his hands. And he's talking. He's like, are you kidding me?
I never talk with my hands.
Right now. And he's like, I can't believe you woke me up.
Our argument, we were arguing about you waking me up, and you had the audacity to get out of the shower and wake me up so that we could have an argument about you waking me up. Yeah, wild. Wild.
Again, taking a step back.
Oh, my gosh.
We are well aware that we argue and we fight when we're tired and when we're sleep deprived and over things we're very passionate about and very emotional with and very attached to, which it was about Drew. We were tired. We were sleep deprived. We were hungry. It was just a bad situation.
So, and that's one thing that has helped us. We were talking about patterns, but like putting things in context of, like I said, anytime before 10 a.m., Sean, like if I'm being loud and obnoxious and like, you know, coming at her, even if it's in a playful way, it's going to probably end in an argument. So realizing that the context does matter, but then also I find solace in this. I don't know if you do, but like Sean and I arguing about wedding planning, like planning our wedding was a really stressful thing for us. And we had a lot of arguments during that time. But then I like to do research on like, hey, how many couples fight during the engagement process? And it's like 95% do. Mm-hmm. And realizing that that's normal to have arguments puts me at ease about whatever the topic is, just because it's like, oh, it's not like this is a make or break thing. Like this is just a normal thing that causes conflict that we need to work through. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So putting things in context, whether that's situationally or in the bigger picture of this is a normal conflict. All right. As a kid, I used to love when my parents would sit down and play a game with us or do any activity. And right here in our hands, we have the KiwiCo box, which is the activity of all activities for young kids.
The colorful chemistry set, to be specific. So with Drew and Jet and Bear, we try to have really intentional playtime. And that's hard because they're all different ages and kind of in different developmental kind of phases of life. I love with KiwiCo that each month we get boxes specific to their ages and kind of like the activity development phase that they're in. So each box, this one's the colorful chemistry set. This has to do with science, but especially with Bear, it can be really hard with a 4 month old to know like how to interact with him where he needs to be at 4 months old. And I love in these crates, they actually have cards that say, here are activities or things you can do specific to Bear that will help him identify colors or whatever it is. I love KiwiCo.
There's always something new for kids to discover, like learning about the science of ice cream, engineering robots, or doing science experiments, which our kids have loved recently. Sean is currently holding, as she said, the colorful chemistry kit, which has provided hours of entertainment for our kids. They look forward to their new crate every month, and this one kept him really engaged. We got to experiment with mixing oil and water, mixing different colors, and watching how different things react. It was so fun. We basically created our own little chemistry lab with the kids, and we could feel their excitement when they got to play around and mix things together. Plus, it barely made a mess, so it was really quick to clean up and to use again another day. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your children engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you, so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month of any crate at KiwiCo.com when you use code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE.
Well, I want to add a couple things. So, one, this whole topic of arguing, we are saying it's healthy to argue, and we agree with that. There are relationships out there that are healthy and work and you don't argue. So, like, if you don't argue and you have a healthy and great relationship, that's awesome. That works for you guys. But we're just talking about if you do argue, it's not a bad thing, or it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But I do want to bring up another topic that people have asked questions about, and that's, do you go to bed angry and wait until the morning to talk it through, or do you try to hash it out? There's a lot of, like, different opinions about that. And my first opinion, my, like, first thought is we like to talk it out, fight it out, argue it out, whatever it is. And I feel like our trend in the way we do things is we always have that first argument that tends to be emotional. And that's just when your blood is boiling and we get all the opinions out and we usually say a few cuss words because we just don't know how to communicate with each other. You're speaking Chinese, I'm speaking French again. Nothing's working.
Not literally. I don't know Chinese yet, but I'd like to.
But it pretty much seems like that because nothing you're saying is making sense to me. Yeah. And I'm like, how could you say that? And you're saying the same thing to me, whatever. We usually then go to bed and we're usually still kind of angry. And then in the morning, we have a cordial conversation where I'm able to say, okay, you said this last night.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. Can you please explain it to me in a different way? And I think if, just a suggestion out there, if everyone is able to approach a conversation with such clear mindset of, okay, he said this or she said this, and it really hurt me, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, I know you said this, but can you word it differently? I think it could go a long way.
And one thing that I feel like makes our arguments, or when we have a productive argument, makes it productive is like just being honest. Mm-hmm. So Andrew, when you said this last night, when we were having our big fight, it hurt my feelings. And then a lot of times we're able to just like work through that issue and apologize for it, but then more clearly communicate, like, I'm sorry I said that. That's not what I meant. I really just want you to give me more appreciation. Mm-hmm. I want you to give me more recognition. And I do think it's important to mention that as a whole, generally, our premarital counselor said this, women want love and men want respect. And mm-hmm. so if I feel like I'm being disrespected, it doesn't end well. And if Sean doesn't feel like she's getting enough love, like I'm hanging out with the boys all weekend and then I come home and don't even recognize her, that mm-hmm. doesn't end well either.
Well, and I think something that's really worked for us, or is working for us and is beneficial, is acknowledging that in each other. So there's a lot of times where we'll sit down and we'll be like, okay, what do you need from me?
Yeah.
What is it you aren't feeling or aren't getting that you need more of? And when we're having these arguments in a cordial setting and we're trying to really talk them through, I'll say, Andrew, you know, it's not to be offensive to you, but in this situation, when you said this, when you acted this way, I didn't feel loved. And I need to feel loved to feel secure in our relationship, to be able to feel confident as a woman, just like all of this.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, okay, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean that. And then vice versa. He'll say, okay, when you did this, I felt disrespected. And it's just, if you can go back and forth and give clear cut details as to what it was that person did and how it made you feel, it kind of sets your significant other up for success and being able to say, okay, next time I'll try to do this differently.
And again, that goes back to both parties wanting to be able to have a healthy argument and really work through issues well. Aside from disagreements, I feel like this is a majority of our arguments are just pure miscommunication.
Oh yeah.
So this is a classic line. I will never forget this. The other day we were talking about grocery shopping and I thought we needed to go to Kroger and Sean thought we needed to go to Whole Foods or something. And at one point in the argument, Sean said, can we not go pick the things up at Publix? And I interpreted that as, let's not go pick the things up at Publix.
and I'm in it as a question mark.
And that's hilarious. That happens to Sean and I all the time. Of like,
I hope you guys follow that. We'll write that in sentence form so you guys understand.
Can we not go pick the groceries up at Publix? Do you guys understand how that could be wildly confusing?
Lexi's confused.
That's wildly confusing
to me. Maybe to you. Anyways. So, yeah.
We had a 15-minute argument about that. And then at the end, Sean was like, oh, no, I meant... let's go pick the grocery. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Anyways. But also, I'm so mad at you. So the miscommunication arguments that we have are just us learning to speak your language. Me learning to speak your language, you learning to speak mine. The third and probably my least favorite are just pure emotional arguments.
Yeah.
And again, identifying patterns. I think it's extremely important for me to realize the background that you have with this particular issue.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, one thing we've argued about a lot in our relationship is, Sean, why can't you be more social? I just instinctively trust people inherently, like honestly way too much. There's been a couple instances where I've gotten us in trouble because I've trusted people poorly. And you don't trust people. Like, it's frustrating because I'll be trying to have a conversation with someone we just met that I'm really excited about, and Sean is not into it, and it's because you don't trust them.
But it's also because, and we had tons of arguments until it got to a point where it was boiling and so emotional, and I was in tears, and I was like, you know what? I've had trust broken so many times by, you know, I mean, the most extreme case is like a stalker, and I tried to put, like, when it got to that point and I'm bawling my eyes out and I'm like, I just don't want to have my trust broken again like that. Then it became clear to Andrew that, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
And we've actually had friends that we've talked to and in conversation, they've been like, we don't want to know about each other's past. We don't want to know about anything that they went through because we're living in the moment, in this relationship. And to a certain extent, I get that. But for us, it's been really, really important to talk through bad breakups and ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends and traumatic experiences because it gives context as to why both of us respond to certain situations in certain ways. So another thing that we've argued a ton about is like self-image and me being self-conscious and me having body image issues. And because for my husband, it's like, why would you ever think this? You're beautiful. Yeah. I love this. Why are you not wanting to walk a red carpet? Why don't you want to wear this dress? Why are you crying right now? Because like all these different things. And it's taken a lot of time and explanation for me to explain gymnastics and eating disorders and, you know, therapists for him to be like, okay, this is a situation I need to kind of tiptoe around and coddle and support. And I think being able to explain that to your partner is really important.
I agree. And I feel like it's in the emotional arguments that we have where it's really important to realize that sometimes not saying something, even if I have the most rational argument for like, Sean, that's the president of the United States and you can't warm up to him. Like that in my mind, that's a rational argument. A lot of times in emotional arguments, it's best to withhold saying things.
Yes.
And all you need in that moment is love.
Yes.
That's the lesson that I've learned that I'm still learning.
I do think on another note, kind of moving on to another topic or another trick, I guess, another thing that we do with arguments that I think helps is we talked about this years ago when we were dating, or I think we were engaged actually. It was after the premarital counselor. Something that he suggested is don't bottle anything up. If something bothers you, say it right then and there, mm-hmm. because you probably have less emotion and less anger and resentment build up right then and there than waiting a week and letting it happen a million times and then exploding in anger. So this can be frustrating for both of us because we will reiterate things multiple times to each other, and we get so frustrated with it, but I still think it's better than letting it build. So, for example, you don't shut the cabinet doors, and I'll ask you once a day, be like, babe, can you just shut it? And for me, it's better to say that. It makes you really frustrated. But then for me to build into this massive argument and just explode with emotion.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it becomes this good. Huge thing.
Which I'm more prone to harboring issues and letting them fester.
Yeah, you should work on this.
Like, one thing, I'm not mad. One thing that I've noticed as a pattern is that you get so mad when my vanity is dirty and your side of the vanity, I look over and it's just cluttered with like a million different things. But I have one thing sitting out and it just is too much. And it's like, I let it fester. This is the first time I've said anything to you about it. So, I'm not that mad about it, but just go ahead.
Perspective change.
Okay.
I actually clean up your vanity like as an act of love. Not that it bothers me.
Thank you.
I truly, like, when I walk by, I'm like, I should clean it up for him.
Thank you.
Mine is a hot mess that is long gone, but it's actually an act of love for you.
I appreciate that.
Have you ever thought of that?
I have not, but I have.
Because have I ever said anything about your vanity?
There is a big miscommunication when it comes to laundry. I know that you see it as an act of love to give me clean laundry, but it's so frustrating to me because I'll wear the same clothes every day, and I want those clothes ready for me to wear.
It's actually an act of love to myself, so I don't have to smell the body odor.
Okay, all right, we're going down a rabbit
deep
hole right now.
Deep and dark path.
I have realized we learned this the hard way. We went on a vacation with Josh and Chelsea Axe. And I asked the foolish question.
Very bad question to ask.
What's the biggest argument you guys have ever had?
Don't ever ask that.
That's the wrong question to have. Because I do say, no matter if you're dating or engaged or married, there's probably one issue
that is really hard to work through and probably you'll never work through.
You'll never work through it. So, again, sometimes it's better just to let things be.
Well, and I want to add to that. You probably will have this one topic that you guys probably will never agree on. And that does not mean that that person is not your person. Yeah. There is no person in the entire world that you're going to agree about every single thing in the entire world on. It's just not possible. We're human beings and we're different. We're wired different. We change. And if you're waiting for that person to show up, they're not going to. You have to make things work. You have to compromise. You have to see things differently. That's what makes relationships fun and different.
Yeah.
So it's okay to have that one thing you'll never agree on. But you probably shouldn't bring that up in conversation.
Yeah. For us, I would say it's probably treatment of the dog. But we don't really work through those. We don't work through the details.
But we don't talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's talk about things that
because
when we're arguing.
So rational and right.
I'm done. Let's talk about things that things that we do when we argue work well and things that don't work well. So right. I feel like using I versus we is something that can be a useful strategy because I don't want to necessarily call something out in you that really I'm involved with. And it's also a more gentle way to communicate a message. So like, hey Sean, we should work on closing the cabinet doors. It's better than you need to close the cabinet doors.
As long as you don't say it with spite, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's definitely a wrong way to say that. Because you can get like kind of snarky. Oh yeah. We're doing a good job, huh? Yeah.
I also think a really, really important thing, as hard as it can be sometimes, is to acknowledge everything that your significant other is saying.
100%.
So
that's something that we have recently said, we need verbal confirmation.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're in an argument, if you're not, whatever, if your significant other is saying something to you, they could even be pointing out something that you've done wrong that you don't even think is wrong. You need to acknowledge it. You need to say, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way, or acknowledge it in whatever way you can before you bring in the but or your opinion or your thought. Because if you don't, it feels you feel like you're unseen and unheard, and that can cause arguments to skyrocket.
Yeah. Yes. Also, I heard, I think Jordan Peterson say this, but criticize the smallest possible thing about the other person as possible. So like, don't say, Sean, you never, take out the trash. I think it's an important thing that I'm working on is saying, hey Sean, when I asked you to take out the trash and you didn't that one time, it hurt my feelings because I felt like you didn't hear me.
It's really easy to exaggerate issues. And again, that's letting them fester and build. So you have to point them out as they happen so that you're setting your person up for success to succeed the next time.
Yeah. One thing you do is apologize too much.
Yes, I do apologize too much. And I think it's very easy to do that.
I really appreciate you being willing to concede, but I do find frustration, and sometimes you apologize when you really actually want to communicate something.
Yeah,
you
know, or I apologize in spite. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm really not. Yeah. But I'm really not at all.
I think appropriately using apologies is an important thing, and not just using it as like a out to the conversation,
and using them like enough.
Are you looking at me?
Yeah.
I feel like I apologize a lot.
You never actually say I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
We're learning things right now.
Yeah. You just say I apologized.
That's just really interesting.
It is.
Okay. I'll accept that.
This is like couples therapy.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have to start bringing in moderators though.
So I feel like, no, excellent example there.
Yes.
Sean and I were talking, maybe this isn't a good thing for us to like revisit all these issues that we've worked through, because some things are just better left undone. But we're going to be interviewing people. We have an awesome roster.
We did a huge outreach yesterday, and we have like 30 people lined up, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing them in person, and I can't wait. But to review, what did we learn here today?
We learned that arguments are fine and healthy and happen in relationships, and you should not get discouraged by them. Just because you argue does not mean you're in a bad relationship. It means you guys are passionate and healthy and sane, and you have opinions. And as long as you're willing to be open to the opinions of that other person, you don't necessarily have to agree with them, but as long as you're open to listening and hearing them, you're great.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to listen.
I think having an attitude of one, honesty, because I need to be honest with how I'm feeling, and I need to be honest with myself about the negative thing in you that I would like to correct, right? That's how arguments happen, is like, oh, you did this and that's dumb.
But it might not be right.
Yes. Having an attitude of forgiveness.
Absolutely.
And then just realizing that sometimes there's issues with a lot of background complexities to it. Mm-hmm. And putting things in context, recognizing patterns. Those are the lessons that Sean and I have learned so far in our...
And we're still learning.
How many years have we been married? Four? We're coming up on four. Three and a half. We're coming up on four.
Yeah.
But we would love to get your guys' feedback on, did you agree with how we argue? Do you agree with how we view arguments?
There's probably going to be some like marriage counselors that'll listen to this and be like, whoa,
what a train wreck.
Really need to work with them.
They're on the fast track.
I really don't want anyone listening to this podcast.
But we would love to hear your guys' tips and tricks. Maybe we didn't mention this, but Sean and I do have one special place where we go to have hard conversations.
Oh my gosh.
But
no.
Are we gonna
that is not
that?
A we. That is a you. So okay. Andrew didn't even notice this. I picked up on this pattern early on in our dating relationship.
Yeah.
But I would always get this text message. It happened like once a month. And it'd be like, do you want to meet me for coffee at Frothy Monkey, which is a coffee shop here in Nashville? And I'd be like, at first I was like, sure, let's go get coffee. But then I soon realized a pattern of every time, and the only time we ever went to Frothy Monkey is when Andrew had to have a serious conversation. And it was some sort of argument or talking about a topic we didn't want to talk about, but something serious. And it got to the point where I had like PTSD around Frothy Monkey.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do this time?
We haven't been back there much.
No. But if you remember, yeah, it was like towards engagement. You're like, do you want to go to Frothy Monkey? I literally said to you, I was like, what did I do this time?
Yeah. But we translated that into, and this is part of our solution for how we let issues not fester. It translated into us having monthly checkups where Sean and I will just sit down and say, all right, this is a safe space where we can have a conversation that I'm going to call something out in you and just receive it well.
Well,
and so I'll be like, Sean, one thing I feel like you did really, we always start with like, you did a good job.
A compliment.
So I'll say, you did a really good job at being patient with me when I know I lost my temper a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, but I didn't appreciate how you totally blew me off in a handful of issues. And again, try to be specific. Yeah. But
and we do make sure to get out of the house for that. So we've always tried to do our monthly checkups at a coffee shop or somewhere.
Yeah.
To where, I don't know why, I think our marriage counselor told us that, like getting out of your home space so that, I don't know, it just kind of refreshes you. I don't know.
It keeps home as like this place of rest as opposed to arguing, relating it to every time we're home we argue. So then you go out and it's just like the place you're in actually does matter a lot. That was fun, babe.
It was fun. I hope they took something away from it.
I do too.
I hope we aren't, I mean, we are hot messes. It's okay.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Couple Things. Thank you guys for your submissions. If you have any, we have a spot on the website where you can submit ideas. And we'd also love to potentially involve you guys in audio clips and video clips too. So we'll talk about more of that later in Instagram stories, where we'll kind of intro an episode with you guys saying and talking about an issue that you guys have had, and then us addressing that issue in the episode.
Yes.
I'm not rambling.
No, I was just trying to follow it.
Anyway, if you guys haven't yet, if you could please subscribe to and rate this episode on whatever platform you're listening.
Give it a 5 stars. Why don't you?
If you thought it was a 5-star episode. And stay tuned for next episode of Couple Things.
Yes. This is Sean and Andrew.
Out. All right, real quick for all of those listening out there, we don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think, babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners, and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.